Welcome to our service this morning, our special service of remembrance. We will start with the blether, and then I can do the intimations.
Very warm welcome to our joint parishes worship. Wherever you're joining us from today, please know that you are welcome as we spend this time together. And just before we go to worship this morning, we're going to hear a little bit about what's going on from our neighbouring parishes. I'm going to start off, of course, this morning is Remembrance Sunday, and we'll be holding active remembrance both at Midmar Church and later on at Echt. So we're looking forward to commemorating the local people who lost their lives in the wars. Looking forward to next Sunday. I'll not be around next week, and worship will be at Echt Church at 10:15, and will be led by the Reverend Ian Thompson. And so now handing over to Stella from Blair Daff and Chapel of Givi.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to all. We have Neil with us this week and next week, so we look forward to welcoming him to Blair Daff and Chapel of Givi in each church. The only thing happening outside normal services is our coffee morning and Christmas fair on the 27th. We're still looking for donations for the hampers and the prize bags. We have one of the stalls, you always win, you're guaranteed to win, but in order to do that we need the Christmas bags for people to have prizes in, so donations for that welcome, and fresh baking on the day. So that's the 27th, 10 till 2. And now over to Neil in Kintore.
Thank you very much, and hello to everybody. After today's Remembrance Day services, we head into a little bit of a lull as we start to prepare for Christmas. But in the meantime, what I can say that we'll be starting this week is our drop-in centre on a Friday morning at about 9 o'clock, if you'd like to join us for a cup of coffee. And we have that drop-in centre so that people can also drop off things for the food bank. And if you'd like to know what the food bank is looking for, particularly at the moment, you will find a list on our website and also on our Facebook page, and of course on the food bank's website, so that you can know what specific needs they have. That starts this Friday, the 19th. And now over to Sheila in Kemnay.
Good morning from Kemnay. Today again, we have the remembrance service led by Susanna Bichard from Tarvis, and we are very grateful for our help during this time of Joshua's absence. Next week, we return to a normal in-church service, which will be led by David Bale from our congregation. Meantime, church activities continue as before, with more groups opening up, the Good Morning Group, some children's group as well. Our session meeting will take place on the 18th, and it will be chaired by Ewan Glenn from Money Musk and Clooney, and we look forward to that, and I look forward to welcoming the elders on Teams for that meeting. And I now pass this on to Tozzi from Kintore.
Okay, thank you. As a man who is on familiarization and learning curve, I was very happy to see how the Guy Fawkes Night was celebrated. Looking forward to see how many celebrations are being done here. I can see that people are geared towards Christmas. Thank you.
Folks, I just wanted to say that last Sunday in church at Money Musk, we had a person who has been found to have COVID. And it's, I have to say, the Church of Scotland's central offices have been brilliant giving us advice and telling us what to do. And there's nothing, no need to panic or anything of that nature. The fact that we keep social distancing and masks on and follow all the protocols of cleaning means the chances of spread are very, very small. But we have to notify everyone. It's just a reminder to us all that we can't take things, we can't relax. And we can't think that we don't need to clean, that we don't need to worry about all sorts of, you know, the social protocols that we've become used to. So all I'm saying is that, you know, be careful out there and be careful in the churches and make sure that you follow all your risk assessments, because as most of you know, I'm one of the ones that approve all the risk assessments of the congregations. So keep it going. I know it's a chore and I know it's hard work, but keep it going just now for the safety of us all. And next week at Clooney and Money Musk, we worship in Money Musk Church at 10 o'clock. In November, we've been changing it quite often from week to week what time we're worshipping. But next week, we worship at 10 o'clock in Money Musk. And that, I think, is all the group intimations. So we now move forward to worship God together online and also in our own congregations. So let's enjoy this time of worship, praising the God who has done everything for us. So once again, enjoy your worship.
As I said in the blether, we have the pleasure of having Suzanne Bichard with us, a reader from Tarvis, who is going to lead our service of remembrance. And we're, of course, we're very grateful for her taking the trouble to come with her lovely guide dog to the church this morning. In addition, can I remind the elders of the session meeting on Thursday, the 18th, and I look forward to seeing you all on Teams. There have been various intimations, which I'm sure you've noted as we've been waiting for the service to start. I shall now ask Suzanne to lead our service. Can I also say, of course, that we're going to gather at the War Memorial for 10:45 for the laying of wreaths in remembrance of our fallen soldiers during these wars.
Thank you for that welcome, and a very warm welcome to everybody here this morning and those online. And I always think this, the people worshipping with us online, it's not virtual, it's real. Although you're online, God transcends all things. Wherever we're worshipping, whether it's at home or in the church, we're worshipping together, and it's a pleasure to be here and share this important day with you. So let's just take a moment and gather our thoughts before we come before God in worship. Lord Jesus, you came to bring justice, to bring light and God's promise of and God's promise to the world. Jesus, light of the world, shine among us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this hymn, but it's a very easy one to sing. So let's take a deep breath, and when the time comes, let's sing together. He came down that we may have love. my guide dog, Jack. Jack's a very special dog, and this is the harness he wears when he's guiding me. Now, because I can't see very well, I don't want you to be polite and put your hands up and wait to answer my questions. Just shout them out, okay? You've got permission to shout out the answers today. You'll see that lots of us are wearing, I've got at least two, if not three, on my jacket. What are we wearing today? Poppies, yes. And it's 100 years, I think, since we've been wearing poppies. So I've got a felt one here that was made years ago by some of the young people in Bathel Chapel Church. And those young people are now way past university. They're in their late 20s, so it's lasted quite well. I've got one that I bought from the British Legion, and I've got a little ribbon that somebody gave me this year with tiny little poppies on it. Now, can anybody see what's this on Jack's harness? It's a purple poppy. Now, a few years ago, I learned something that I hadn't known before. The poppies for the animals are purple. So there was a woman in our congregation who's one of the knitters, and her father had looked after horses during the war. And it was her that told us that the poppies for the animals are purple. And so she knitted purple poppies, and that's why I've got one on Jack's harness. It's also a day for remembering, of course. And one of the things that I would say, particularly for the young people amongst us, that we need to remember today, we need to remember to be loving. That's really what we need to remember today. The older folk amongst us will have memories of people that are relatives of ours, perhaps quite close relatives. You may even have somebody whose name is on the memorial in this kirkyard that's a relation of yours. But for the younger ones, I think if we just teach them to remember to love one another, that's so important. I don't know if you've ever come across something called a teaspoon prayer. Maybe you have. When we do recipes, sometimes it has a teaspoon of something, and the abbreviation, it doesn't write teaspoon as one big long word, it says TSP. And it's a good reminder for a way of praying. So the T stands for thank you. The S stands for sorry. Sometimes we need to say sorry for God when we forget to do things. And the P is please. Please God. It's a way of asking God to help us. So would you say after me, and we'll say a teaspoon prayer. So let's pray together. Let's talk to God in prayer. Dear God,
dear God,
thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for our families and friends.
Thank you for our families and friends.
Thank you for the family of the church.
Thank you for the family of the church.
God, we are sorry.
God, we are sorry.
For the times that we forget to behave in a loving way. Please help us to be more loving and considerate of others. And at the end of a prayer, the people say, Amen. So, thank you, and if the young people are going out now, I hope you have fun doing whatever it is you're going off to do, and we'll see you later. Thank you. Today is one of those services that is very familiar to us, and yet when you say, how do you do remembrance, sometimes we don't actually know. So today might be a bit different from what you did last year, who knows? But what we will do is we're going to have the usual for you, hanging of a wreath in the church and a wee moment of silence when that's done. But the main act of remembrance with the 2 minute silence and the familiar words that we all know that are used at remembrance, that will happen at the War Memorial. I can't guarantee it'll happen at 11. It'll probably happen before 11, but we'll just wait and see. We're among friends, so I'm sure whatever happens, God will be okay with it. So now let's sing a hymn that we very often sing at remembrance. That great hymn, O God, our help in ages past, let us join together in praise. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us join our hearts together. Let us pray. God of joy, whose sunrise wakes us and sunset amazes us, we praise your holy name. God of hope, whose promise sustains us and power upholds us, we praise your holy name. God of love, whose patience humbles us, and touch can heal us, we praise your holy name. God of peace, who breaks down barriers and walls that divide us, we praise your holy name. God of eternity, who has always loved us and by grace has saved us, we praise your holy name. You call us to love as you love, care as you care, seek justice, mercy, and truth. in a world that has yet to feel the warmth of your embrace. But we fail to heed your call. Draw back from those in need. Say nothing when we see injustice. Become invisible. Forgive us. Forgive us, you whose love is better than life, you whose grace extends to all. Forgive us and enable us to be the people we could be, that your name might be on the lips of all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now a reading appropriate for today, a reading from a book called Dirt, Mess and Danger by Glendon Macaulay. In the silence, from the silence. In the silence, from the silence, the peace of God for those who take time to listen. In the silence, from the silence, God's word of calm for those who, in their remembering, find only distress and regret. In the silence, from the silence, God's uncomfortable reproach for those who, in their remembering, cannot find it within them to forgive. In the silence, from the silence, God's smile of affirmation for those who are surprised to discover that they feel little or nothing at all. And in the silence and out of the silence, God's presence to encourage those who, on their remembering, know their grief is still very heavy and their suffering no less raw to bear. A powerful, active and happening silence then, not an empty space, a potentially life-changing silence, not simply a sterile space. A gentle silence, a disturbing silence, now carved out of our living and being. For here, in the silence, out of the silence, God made his peace with the people of earth. And now I would like to ask Fraser to hang the wreath in the church, as is your custom. Would you please do that now? Remembering the sacrifice and the suffering, rejecting the way of war that leads to death, praising the way of God that leads to real and true living. Praying that the world will learn to live in peace with itself. So let's take a moment of silence, a powerful, active, and happening silence, not simply an empty space. Our next hymn is one you may not have sung before, but you'll know the tune as soon as the organist starts. But please pay attention to the words as you sing this. It's a beautiful hymn. Put peace into each other's hands. Let's sing together.
From the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we start at verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You come near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Our second reading is from John. John chapter 15, and we start at verse 9. Excuse me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And may the Lord bless this reading to us.
Thank you, Sheila, for these readings. That passage from Deuteronomy teaches us an important lesson. We must tell our children. We must teach our children about the love of God. It's a simple message for children, but the fact that God loves each one of us and that we should try and emulate that love is such an important message. The passage from John says this: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That's one version, abide in my love, which is where we get the words of that wonderful hymn, which unfortunately for most of us has connotations with funerals, but the words of abide with me are glorious words. Abide is a word that is perhaps for us a rather old-fashioned word. And I suppose it really in this context means to act in accordance with. But often we use it like, I can't abide something, or we have to abide by the rules. It can be used in a more negative way. This is how the message puts it. This is how Eugene Peterson puts it. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I think that's a wonderful image. So it's something we can all think about this week, is how we can make ourselves at home in God's love. A great thing to strive for. The core of the Christian message is, of course, love. God loves me. Say that in your head. God loves me. How does it feel to actually sit with that? Let that thought rumble around a bit this coming week. God loves me. If we could grasp God's unconditional love for us, life would be a joyous journey. To accept that God loves me is also to accept the reality that God loves others in the same way. Sometimes that can be a challenge, because I'm called to love myself and others. And it's clear from the gospel that I'm called to love people who are poor and excluded and marginalized in a very special way. And of course, I am also called to love the earth which God has entrusted to us. We have to discern how to do that. And that process of discernment is a challenging one for us as Christians. God is our guide. Now, I have Jack with me. Jack is a guide dog. Jack guides me. However, in this relationship, I'm in charge because I'm telling him where we're going. Now, that's a relationship I like, where I'm in control. I'm the session clerk in Tarvis. And the folk in Tarvis will tell you, okay, I'm visually impaired, but it doesn't stop me bossing people around. I'm very good at that. So I like relationships where it feels as though I have some control. But when it comes to God guiding, that's difficult, isn't it? It's very different because we are sometimes guided by God to things that we actually don't want to do, never thought we could do. And so it's a challenge to be guided by God and allow him to take control of us and to trust him. I have an abiding memory, there's that word, of a visit I paid to the Beald. It's a retreat centre that some of you may know of. It has a wonderful, wonderful space, the indoor space, the old carpenter's workshop, which is where they have communion. There's a swimming pool and there's a fantastic outdoor space. When I visited, they told me about a labyrinth which is cut into the grass, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to get up early and go out and walk the labyrinth in my bare feet. So off I went, found the labyrinth, and I stood there and I thought, I can't actually see this labyrinth. No, I'm not going to walk it. I'll go back and ask them if they've got a plan of the labyrinth so that I know where I'm going. So back I went and asked if they had a plan of the labyrinth. And they kind of just looked at me. And then I thought, oh, okay, Lord, maybe you're telling me something here. I don't need to know where I'm going. So back I went to the labyrinth and took my shoes and socks off. And I just went one little wee footstep at a time, feeling my way with my feet through the labyrinth. That was a lesson for me in handing over my trust, in trusting and handing over the control to God. So that's something that is a lesson for all of us. Like yourselves, we in Tarvis and Barthel Chapel are exploring how we move forward with the parish grouping. I think you're quite a bit further down the road than we are. Our grouping is with Methlick and Udney Pitt Medden and ourselves in Tarvis and Barthel Chapel. We had a meeting this last week to think about what our vision statement, mission statement might be. And it's a very interesting process, and I'm sure you've gone through this process as well, and you really have to just distill down what it means to be church. And we haven't got there yet, but we've got a basis to work on, and we'll put that together, and then of course it has to go out to the congregations to see if it's the way that they feel we should represent ourselves. During lockdown, the moderator at the time did an online service for Pentecost, and he encouraged us to come up with a 7-word mission statement. And this was a mission statement that I came up with as part of his encouragement that day. Trusting God, being church, caring for others. Trusting God, being church, caring for others. Now that's something we can all do as Christians. whether it's as individuals or families or churches. It's something we can teach our children. Trusting God, being church, and caring for others. There's something active about that. And of course, our faith has to be put into action. We can have all the world words and ideas, but unless we put our faith into action, then there is no value in it. So let us trust God and be church and care for others. Amen to that. And now let us sing our next hymn, "We Lay Our Broken World in Sorrow at Your Feet." Let us sing together. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. God of love, we have gathered here, the people of God, not only to remember, but first and foremost to worship the God of peace. This is also a day for thanksgiving and gratitude. God of mercy, we do not come in thanksgiving for victory in battle or triumph over those who are also God's precious children, nor do we come in gratitude for might and force and strength. This is a day for heartfelt praise and thanks to God that war and conflict is not the only way, that God has provided an alternative to humanity's weak and futile attempts to live as one. that God's Son, Jesus Christ, has shown us another way, that God's own way is the only true way to peace. And we are here to pray that weapons of war are not put to use again, that terrible inventions of destruction and suffering are never activated again, that humanity will listen and hear the voice of heaven, which says, this is your way. This is a foolish way. This way is not mine. God of compassion, we remember those who came home but who lost something of themselves in the fields of battle, those who lost limb or reason or sense of self. We pray that your comfort will be known by all who have seen the realities and dangers of war. Ease the pain of those who grieve. Bring renewal to those whose health in body or mind has been diminished. We seek your blessing. Your blessing upon members of our armed forces and upon their families. Grant to them safety in the fulfillment of their duties. Defend them as they face danger of many kinds, and grant to them wisdom, and as they work for peace and justice in our lifetimes. We give thanks for the times and places where we can see seeds of peace growing. We pray for those who have never known war, and we plead that that will long continue. Grant a love of peace to our children, that they will work in harmony with one another. We pray for our Queen Elizabeth and for all her ministers in Westminster and Holyrood. Grant to them wisdom in the fulfillment of their duties and the way that they seek to make our world a place of safety and of prosperity for all. Grant that your church will speak out with passion for the sake of those who are voiceless. Save us from silence or complacency, and inspire us by your Holy Spirit to prepare the way of the Lord today and always. And now, in a time of silence, we bring before God the people and situations that lay heavily on our hearts today. Lord, we thank you for the intercession of your Holy Spirit. And now let us draw all our prayers together, the spoken or unspoken prayers of our hearts, as we say together in whatever version is most familiar to you, the words that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread,
And now I invite you to join with me in a litany for remembrance. Stay seated for this. It's something that you may not have come across before. These are words that my own minister, Alison Swindells, came across some years ago, and not even sure quite where they come from. But I find these words really helpful because they help us to look forward to Advent. So I ask that you join in the responses, if you wish, as we share a litany for Remembrance Sunday. It is not true that this world and its people are doomed to suffer, to die and be lost. For this is true. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction as inevitable in life. For Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word, and war and destruction have come to stay forever. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. It is not true that we are simply victims of power and victims of the powers of evil who seek to rule the world. For Jesus said, to me is given all authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. For Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, the Lord of all. At our close of worship today, as Sheila said, you're invited to come and join us at the War Memorial for an act of remembrance. And I ask you to remain standing after the blessing today as we will sing the national anthem. But first, let's join together in that wonderful hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let us worship God once more. service here in church may be ended this morning, but our service for the work of God is only just starting. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us and those whom we love, now and evermore. Amen.